Good evening.
Britain is standing by, ready for instant war. The reserves of the Navy, Army, and Air Force have been called up, and tomorrow all forces will be nearly fully mobilized. Evacuation of school children from London and other great cities in danger areas will begin tomorrow morning. Certain classes of hospital patients will also be moved to hospitals in safer areas. The Air Raid Precaution Service is being fully mobilized. These announcements came this evening after a day of steadily increasing tension, but it's officially emphasized that these movements are precautionary and do not mean that war is inevitable. At the same time, the frantic efforts for peace are going on with increasing intensity. There is still hope in the official view, and in any case, it's not expected that hostilities will begin until the German ships already at sea are safe in port. That, if the official view is correct, would mean about another week's respite, during which the peace efforts would continue. But the news from Berlin is ominous. As you probably have heard, the German broadcasting stations announced that the German offer to Poland expired yesterday, and that Germany therefore regards herself as released from her obligations, whatever that may mean. The terms offered were the immediate cession of Danzig, and that in a year a plebiscite should be taken in the corridor. During the interval, Polish troops and officials should withdraw, and the corridor should be administered by an international force. Late news says that Poland may yet reply, and that Germany may send yet another note. Already, we in England are in the fog of war. Real news is becoming scarcer and increasingly difficult to interpret. We have not yet been permitted to know anything about the contents or the various communications which have passed between London and Berlin. So far as we know, no answer has been received from Berlin to London's latest communication sent last night. It may come at any moment, or it may come in the shape of a declaration of war and a fleet of bombing planes. That, however, is not expected. This afternoon, all stations of the British Broadcasting Corporation broadcast instructions to the public. They were chiefly concerned with the evacuation of the school children, mothers of small children, expectant mothers, cripples, and invalids. In all, provision is made for the removal to safe areas of 3 million children and 500,000 adults, and the whole move will take 4 or 5 days. About 1,800,000 of the children will be from the London area, and 70,000 adults. The evacuation is not compulsory. Parents who wish to keep their children with them may do so. It is expected that about 500,000 children will be out of London by tomorrow night. But there's no wild rush. Mainline railways, it's announced, will be confined to evacuation traffic between 8 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. After that, traffic's expected to return to normal until the next morning, when evacuation will be resumed. Local and suburban lines, which are not directly affected by the evacuation, will maintain a service as near normal as possible. But the London subway system, as well as the bus and streetcar systems, will be devoted almost entirely to getting the children to the mainline railway stations. In view of this fact, the Stock Exchange has announced that it will close tomorrow, not, it is emphasized, primarily to stop trading, but because brokers and their staffs will be unable to reach their offices in the city. At the same time, several stockbrokers have announced that their offices will be open for inter-office trade. All this sounds, and is, very alarming. But I would emphasize again that it does not mean immediate war. The whole of Europe, and America too, is striving for peace. There's a story, I don't know how authoritative, that President Roosevelt sending another peace appeal to Hitler. Queen Wilhelmina of Holland and King Leopold of the Belgians are continuing their efforts to be chosen as mediators. Britain, France, and Poland have agreed to their proposal, but Germany, while expressing the utmost sympathy with their efforts, has not accepted it. It's reported that Hitler has expressed his willingness to discuss matters with the Poles in Berlin, but the Poles have definitely refused to go to Berlin. They are willing, it's reported, to meet the Germans in some neutral place. They have too lively a recollection of what happened to Schuschnigg of Austria and Haha of Czechoslovakia when they went to Berlin. Still, the offer to talk at all with the Poles is regarded as a sign of some weakening by the Wilhelmstrasse. A few days ago, Hitler was saying that he would not talk at all until the Poles had conceded all his demands. The news from Warsaw tonight is that the Poles are absolutely determined not to discuss any cession of territory. If they stick to that, it means either a back down by Hitler or war. From Italy comes the news that Mussolini has suggested a settlement of the German-Polish difficulties by an exchange of population on the basis of what is now being carried out in the former Austrian Tyrol, where German peasants are being moved to Germany and their places taken by Italians. The Polish-German exchange would be a much bigger job and more difficult to carry out because of the larger numbers and the difference in the nature of the people to be moved. In the Tyrol, peasants were moved out and peasants took their places. The Poles in Germany are nearly all peasants, while the Germans in Poland are mostly business and professional men. How is a swap of interests and property between two such classes to be arranged? It can be done, no doubt, given goodwill, but it will cost a lot of money, which neither Germany nor Poland is in a position to find. There's a strange item of news from Rome today. It says that Italy has suspended all train services with Germany and former Austria. It's not confirmed, but if it's true, it's hard to read anything into it but a warning from Italy that she will not be involved in war if it does come. It's very reminiscent of 1914, when Italy scrapped her treaty with Germany and eventually fought against her. Today, reservists of the Navy, Army, and Air Force are crowding the trains on their way to report to their station. Old sweats, which is the British slang for old soldiers, are to be seen everywhere, carrying bags and suitcases and hurrying to their stations. In many cases, they're accompanied to the stations by wives or sweethearts and children to say goodbye. Old sailors are also to be spotted by their Navy duffel bags, with the shoulder through the crowds. It's harder to spot the airmen. They are, as a rule, younger and smarter, but they're there. There's none of the wild enthusiasm which marked the calling up of reservists for the last war. Many of the men remember from personal experience what it was like, and those who didn't actually serve have heard about it from fathers and elder brothers who did. 20 years, after all, is not so long in the life of a generation. There's a grim and, on the whole, good-humored determination. I'm sure the solemn Germans would think some of the men's remarks frivolous, but the Englishman always tries to joke, even in the most tragic circumstances. Some of the jokes have to do with what they will do with Hitler, and some, of course, are what the newspapers call unprintable, and what I suppose we broadcasters should call unairable. On the surface, it isn't a bit exciting, but under it all, one can feel the extreme tension. There's nothing the Englishman hates more than to be disturbed in his business and in his daily way of life, but the call has come and is being answered cheerfully. In Whitehall, in Downing Street, there have been the scenes which have become usual in the last few days. Crowds have been standing around cheering the ministers as they came and went. There's been no cabinet meeting today, but ministers have been calling for consultation with Mr. Chamberlain, and he has made what has become his daily call on the King, with being kept informed of every move. It's noticeable that Chamberlain, when the crowd sees him, gets the loudest cheers. To avoid these demonstrations, and also to save time, he's been using the garden door of 10 Downing Street, which opens on St. James's Park, and from which he can drive right across the park to Buckingham Palace. So far as I can judge, the decision now rests with Poles. Talking to Warsaw today, I was told that they are determined not to give an inch. Britain and France have pledged their word to fight if the Poles call on them to fight for Polish independence, and have stated that the Poles are to the judges whether their independence is threatened. No pressure is being exerted on them to yield. Here in London, we spent the day listening mostly to theories of what this and that may mean. Today, the favorite topic of the theorizers is the meaning of Hitler's appointment of a Supreme Council of Six. In some quarters, it's regarded to core as a final preparation for war. In others, it's taken as a sign of weakness. These theorists base their judgment on the belief that Goering, who heads it, is a moderate, and that General Keitel, chief of the Army High Command, is also said to be opposed to war. Moreover, it's pointed out that von Ribbentrop, the most virulent enemy of Britain in the German government, is not included. There may be something in it, but I don't know, and I just pass on these speculations to you for what they're worth. Paris is reported calm and confident. All her school children have already been evacuated, and she's in a state of defense. London tonight settling down to grin and bear it in face of the inevitable disturbance which the war preparations will cause. Already thousands of suburbanites are planning a day working in their gardens or on the golf course, for the authorities have appealed to business firms to release as many of their staff as possible in order to relieve the transport congestion. To these people, the crisis is bringing an unexpected holiday. Road transport workers are already assured of a holiday, for during the evacuation hours, the main roads after London will be open only to one-way traffic, and that will be outward. I can assure you, however, that London's calm and confident. A lot of work has been done in the last 10 days or so on the preparation of trenches in the parks and open spaces and in the building and strengthening of air raid shelters. These preparations are now evident, whereas a month or so ago, there was little to see in the way of preparation.
The German government this evening sprang on the world a long statement about the discussions which have been going on between Berlin and London and detailed proposals for the immediate return of Danzig to the Reich and for a plebiscite in the Polish corridor, which it described as being the basis on which it would have been prepared to negotiate with Poland. This abrupt and one-sided statement about negotiations, which had been understood to be secret, was followed by a revelation in London of the general course of the recent discussions with Germany. The British government's efforts have been directed to seeing whether a discussion could be arranged between Germany and Poland on the clear understanding that such discussion would have to be on terms of equality, that the settlement should be one which safeguarded the essential interests of Poland, and that efficient assurances should be provided that it would be observed. The German statement says that last Tuesday, the German government expressed its willingness to adopt the British suggestion if a Polish delegate arrived in Berlin by Wednesday evening armed with full powers to negotiate and conclude an agreement. It adds that no Polish delegate had arrived by the time stated, and therefore, according to the announcement made tonight, Germany considered that her proposals had been rejected. In fact, however, no proposals had at that time been put forward. Their publication over the German wireless tonight was in fact the first information that the Polish government had had about them. Until tonight, indeed, the German proposals had not been communicated officially to any government. Sir Neville Henderson, the British ambassador in Berlin, heard of them late last night. That is to say, they were read over to him, but they were not communicated officially, and the reason was given for this. It was said that it was now too late to communicate them as official proposals, since no Polish delegate had arrived in Berlin by the time which Germany had stipulated. When the Polish government did hear of these proposals for the first time tonight, the reaction of Polish circles in London was immediate. It was stated categorically that the German conditions were quite unacceptable and that they offered no possibility of discussion. The German proposals were fully set out in 16 detailed points. In effect, what they amount to is that Danzig should be handed over immediately and that a plebiscite should be held in the Polish corridor with certain important conditions. These include a demand that Germany should be given a railway and a motor road to East Prussia even before the plebiscite was held, and that this zone should have extraterritorial rights, that the people entitled to vote in the plebiscite should include all Germans who have been expelled from the corridor, and that all Polish police, military and other authorities would have to leave the corridor at once, except at Gdynia, which should remain to Poland unconditionally. The German statement says that an international commission should be set up to govern the suggested plebiscite on the lines of the Saar plebiscite. It is suggested that representatives of Italy, Russia, France, and Great Britain should be on this commission, and that it should exercise sovereign rights in the territory for 12 months. As for Danzig, which would then be in the Reich, and Gdynia, which would in any case remain Polish, it is suggested that they should be declared to be centres of trade, which would not be fortified. If, as a result of the plebiscite, the corridor were to be returned to Germany, then it is stated that she would be prepared to carry out an exchange of population. Other points are that Germany and Poland would repair all economic damages which their minorities have caused since 1918, and that after the plebiscite, the minorities should be exempt from military service and have social and cultural freedom. The final points are that if these proposals were accepted, then the two countries should declare that they were ready to demobilize their armies, and finally, that all further necessary measures should be laid down by agreement between Germany and Poland. That is a summary of the German proposals which were announced to the world tonight. Although they had not previously been received by the Polish government and had not been communicated officially to the British government. The German news agency tonight published allegations of German-Polish frontier incidents. A message from Breslau declared that at about 8 o'clock tonight, the radio station at Gliwice, which is just inside the German frontier, was occupied as a result of a Polish attack. The Poles, it is alleged, forced their way into the studio and succeeded in reading an appeal in Polish and partly also in German. They were, however, overpowered within a few minutes by the police, who, says the message, were forced to make use of their weapons, as a result of which deaths occurred among those who had invaded the studio. A later message from the same district declared that the alleged attack on the Gliwice station was apparently the signal for a general attack by heavily armed Poles at two further points of the frontier. Police resisted the attack, but, the message concluded, severe fighting continues. This report is, of course, quite unconfirmed from any other source. Here in London, the government have decided on further defense measures. These are completion of the mobilization of the Navy, calling up of more Army and RAF reserves, evacuation of 3 million people from London and other congested areas, and the setting in motion of the Air Raid Precaution Service. The French Council of Ministers met tonight and decided to maintain firmly the engagements undertaken by France. People who have no vital reason for remaining in Paris have received from the Ministry of the Interior a second and more urgent appeal to leave the city. The dispersal of Paris schoolchildren is almost completed.